Let's get talking with some early morning conversation.
What's happening, people? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. We're back inside the building with another fantastic edition of the Interview Hour, my favourite part of the show. Obviously, talking to some of the best artists around the world about the projects they're currently working on, where they come from, and of course, what is on the way as well. Today, we are talking to a very, very exciting artist, someone whose sound is literally taking over the world, as it seems. A really kind of cool blend of sort of reggae, dancehall, and a ton of different influences in there as well. Someone whose sound I'm finding electrifying, and in general, I'm very excited to talk to him. Man Like Conqueror joins us on the phone. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. What an introduction. Thank you.
It's good to get you on the show, man. I'm very excited to kind of have you here. Obviously, you're in the UK at the moment, obviously on the promo runs, which is always exciting to see. How are you finding the UK?
It's nice, man. I'm fighting a jet lag right now, but other than that, I mean, the sun is shining. I can't complain.
Awesome. Like, so you're over here, obviously, on press duty for a new tune, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later on, and the new EP as well. Yeah. But I kind of want to dive into a bit of background, as we always do on these interviews. I love to find out a bit more about the artist and a bit more about their sort of sound. So obviously, the big tune I feel kind of globally people may recognize you for recently is obviously Banana. This is a tune that's done incredibly well, obviously 2 times Diamond Certified at this point. Kind of looking back to when you first kind of stepped out of the studio, when it was finished for the first time, did you kind of expect this kind of global explosion, shall we say?
Yeah, I'll be very honest, man, in a very humble way. Like, I knew the second that I wrote a song that it had the potential to be a hit. It just needed to go in front of the right audience, and I think it happened exactly like that. But the way that the whole song came about, it wasn't as glitz and glammy as one might find. You know, what I was actually in Colombia, in Medellin. I went down there to go and immerse myself in the culture and you know, get some more of that reggaeton vibe going. And I recorded a song in a closet in my Airbnb. So
wow.
I guess stepping out of the closet with that one, it was when I realized that it was a potential hit, you know?
Definitely. I mean, that must have been quite a cool experience, obviously, being down in Medellin. Again, it is somewhat of a cultural capital around the world. Like, when you're kind of listening back to the tune, are there elements that kind of stick out to you, kind of going, that I did that specifically because I was there? Like, are there any elements to it that you kind of feel that about?
Yeah. Like, okay, so for example, like I said, you know, I want to use a little bit of Spanish in the songs. So in the first verse, you hear me singing or trying to sing a little bit of Spanish. And there was a lady that I used to go and buy aguacate, which is avocados, from every morning. You walk down in El Poblado, and her name was Cassandra. And I say, you know, I'm going to use her name in a song. And that's exactly what I did, you know. So now, in retrospect, looking back at it and listening to the song over and over, I can actually see it in my head. Like, even when I first wrote the song, like, I was literally on my own balcony with a hammock, with my guitar. And I was just like, you know, trying to figure out what to sing, like some kind of a vibe or whatever like that. And I looked over to water bananas on my table. And I was just like, you know, there you go. Like, they're like, come on, them now, and go. And then I say, you know, let me just make it a little bit more spicy and more saucy and thing. And yeah, it was a very easy song to write, man. And I thoroughly enjoyed the whole process, you know.
Amazing, man, amazing. Obviously, then kind of seeing it expand, it then has this, you've got this sort of scenario going on, you've got this fabulously catchy kind of thing going on, and then obviously you add Shaggy onto it just for a bit of an extra giggle. Like, again,
yeah.
How does that then come about from there?
Well, so we had a mutual friend, Martin Kirzenbaum, who he still manages Shaggy, actually. But I had contacted him just to try and get clearance for the song, because I'd never done this before, but I didn't want anybody, I was going to release the song myself. I didn't want anybody coming and, like, you know, lawsuits or nothing like that. So I sent him, and he's just like, you know, do you mind if I play this for the guy that owns Esther of Records, Steve? And I said, yeah, sure. And he went and played it. And I think the guy from Esther of Records said, you know, if we could get Shaggy on the track, I think we'd have a hit. And I think Shaggy initially was a bit apprehensive, because coincidentally, Shaggy came out with a version of that song quite a few years ago. But, you know, he said he'd take the second verse, and obviously I didn't believe it. I'd never met Shaggy or anything. But Martin sent me about the song, and Shaggy was on it. And I was just like, all right, let's go. Let's do it, you know? So I think it was a very interesting way the song came together all the way, you know? And we released the song in 2019, and it gained some traction, but kind of fizzled out, because I was on tour in New Zealand, Australia, and that side of the world. And Shaggy was also doing some tour stuff in New York and Los Angeles. So the label said they shoot a music video, and I shot my part in Australia on a green screen. He did his part in New York, I believe. And it was just crazy to me that we'd never met, and here we are with a song and a music video. And then I'd given the song, all of my songs, you know, when I go on tour, I walk with like 2,000 CDs usually, and I'm just handing it out to people, like the audiences. I don't charge anybody, just hand them out because it's a good way to get your music out there, you know. And I gave it to one DJ, DJ Flea, who was backing me for one of my concerts in New Zealand. And, you know, a couple months pass, and then I hear my friend from Vanuatu saying, like, is this your song? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, blowing up on TikTok. I'm like, what is TikTok? Like, what's going on?
So we're talking all the way back then, basically, right there, the beginning of things. Yeah.
And man, I tell you, I went to bed that night and I woke up in the morning, like thousands of new followers, holy for YouTube subscribers, hundreds of calls. So it was very surreal. And you know, looking back on it, man, I just have to give thanks because it was such a blessing, you know?
Awesome, man. I mean, it's, as you said, there's such a kind of cool combination of elements that have gone into making it what it is. And obviously, you've not rested on your laurels. You've carried on. You've kept putting more exciting stuff out there, which is really kind of interesting. And something I've noticed quite heavily about your catalogue, kind of listening through it and kind of dissecting it, is you always seem to have very sonically pleasing collaborations. Like, they always seem to kind of make sense. You know, that sometimes you see artists and they'll kind of jump on random collaborations for the sake of it being a collaboration. Is it intentional the way you do it, that you always seem to have ones that just match up?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. And you know, I understand completely what you're saying about like people just do the collaborations for the sake of doing it, but I do put a lot of thought into it. And you know, for example, I have a song with Tanya Stevens called Best Friend, and I was listening to the song and I can't explain it, man. It's like a thing that I can almost hear an artist's voice on a track, and sometimes it may not manifest itself into anything, but I'm not afraid to try. So with that song with Tanya Stevens, for example, I just hit her up on Instagram. I was like, hey, Tanya, I have a song here. Love your music, love your work. Would you like to listen to it and see if you'd go on it? And she listened to it and, you know, like 2 days later sent me vocals, you know. And looking back on it, like even the song like Every Day with Romain Virgo and Fiji, I've been wanting to work with Fiji for the longest time. I've been wanting to work with Romain for the longest time. And to have such a positive song with such a positive message, and obviously with those two artists on it, man, it's a massive blessing. So if you say something pleasing sonically, man, then I give thanks and I respect.
Definitely, man. I mean, that's exactly what I wanted to dive into next. Literally the new single, obviously it's part of a wider EP as well, but I want to talk about the single specifically again. Obviously you've mentioned wanting to work with these two for a while. Like, talk me through the sort of situation that led to this one happening, because I feel there might be another cool story behind this one, I've got to say.
Yeah. No, man, I was actually in LA and I was with my friend Bobby Hustle, you know, big old Bobby Hustle from LA, you know, and we're just vibing on the guitar, chilling, and I had a concept for a song, you know, basically about friends, family, and what you're being, you know, what you're really grateful for in life and whatever. And I came up with a chord progression, and I'm not that great at playing guitar, so I was just like, yo, can you just continuously play that chord progression while I try to make some melodies? And came up with a really cool melody. And there was a cinematographer in Jamaica that I worked with, Ramon, who I had no idea he was good at melodies and singing and stuff. And one day he came to my studio and we're just vibing, and we came up with his chorus. And from there, I came up with two verses. One of the verses I really liked, which is the one that I did on this track. And the second one, I was just like, eh. And I remember when I went, because I performed with Fiji before, like in New Zealand, in Guam, in Samoa. And on the last tour we did was in Los Angeles. We bucked up and I said, yo, would you ever do a song with me? And he said, Conker, listen, just let me know whenever and we can make it happen. And I had this song and I voiced it. And so the guys I work with, Loud City, they're from Seattle. Really, really talented guys, man. I mean, because what I do is I do these reggae covers. And we had such a great system going where I could literally hear a reggae cover a cover of like, or like a song, like a Billboard song, like Adele or whatever, come out like the same day. I send it to my boy Dan from Loud City, and by the afternoon he has a reggae rhythm done.
Yeah.
And so we knock out these covers in like a day, you know. So we had a good vibe together. And so I sent him the skeleton of the song, and he came back with the whole instrumental, sent to Fiji, and he's just like, yo, send it to me right now. I'm in the studio. 30 minutes later, he sends me back his vocals. And I say, who else I can put on the song now to make it just, you know, to take it to that next level? And Romain Virgo's manager, Nika Brownie, who used to manage me in the past, I reached out to him. I said, like, yo, take in this song. Let Romain hear it and see if he liked it. And it's the same thing, man. Like, Romain came back like a day later with the vocals. and the song was ready and good to go, man. I think the blend of vocals and the styles in which we sing and the message in our verses, man, like, I'm just so proud to stand behind it. And, you know, I do like to listen to my music, but this song in particular, not just because it's my song, but just the energy and the message that it has behind it, man, it's so positive that, you know, I play it almost religiously, almost every day, you know, yeah, it's like, give thanks for that collaboration, you know?
Awesome, man. Yeah, like, this is the thing. When you're kind of, there's the thing that artists always say, obviously, you're supposed to get bored of your own music as a musician. You're supposed, because you've listened to it so many times. It's almost like a cliche. You're not supposed to like your own music by that time. So the fact you're still very much enjoying it does show how much of a banger it is. And again, there's a couple of things I want to dive into. First of all, obviously, you said this one's come together quite quickly, that idea of getting vocals sent over quick, like within 30 minutes or a day. Is it always this smooth? Because I hear horror stories of like studio setups that take like 6 weeks to get like one vocal re-recorded, and then it takes another 6 weeks to get it rechecked. Like, is it always a quick process at your end?
As far as voicing vocals, I've never had an issue. Just recently, no, but I guess because I'm with a label now and stuff like that, like, we have to do everything properly. So the hardest part for me was getting the contracts and the clearances and stuff like that, you know. But as far as the musical process, man, it's never been an issue for me. And I'm quite selective with the artists that I work with, you know, like, especially if I get a chance to meet them first, you know, I'd expect them to have the same level of respect that I have for them, you know. When I work with people and people need vocals from me, I try to do my best within my schedule to knock them out as good as possible. The only reason why I wouldn't get them on time is if I'm struggling lyrically and I haven't found that inspiration, you know. But apart from that, man, I've never had issues, you know, getting vocals or anything from anyone. It's more the legal side of it.
Yeah, no, fully, I feel you, man. And again, there's another thing you mentioned there, obviously talking about the kind of chord progressions and working with certain artists. And again, that idea, I suppose, of recreating covers. These are all kind of ideas that do very much boil down to those sort of original reggae themes. A lot of the time, the idea of recreating classic songs and then kind of building them into reggae formats. And again, it's something I've noticed throughout your catalogue. This most recent one, very uplifting. There's quite a classic kind of reggae feel to it, obviously, with the syncopated chords, that killer bass line down below. How important is it for you as an artist, obviously inspired by this sound, but also currently working in this sound, to, I suppose, keep those original elements alive within the music you're creating?
Yeah, I mean, for me, obviously, like, I've been influenced by so many different genres and types of music, and music is my passion, you know. So you're looking at people who I'm inspired by. It's, you know, you have the likes of Bob Marley, the Shaggy, John Holt, Dennis Brown. But then we delve over to like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Adele, Amy Winehouse, Ed Sheeran, you know. So I draw inspiration from different genres, different artists, etc. But just having that. And it could be the slightest hint of reggae music or that bass line or something. It's like, yeah, but I hear a little reggae in there or whatever. So I always try to keep some level of authenticity in the background and stuff. And I think it's really important, you know, representing Jamaica and the culture of reggae music. It's just been a massive blessing altogether, man. Just being able to represent Jamaica in such a positive manner, you know. So, yeah, man, I give thanks.
Awesome. I mean, this is the thing. This is why I love doing these interviews, because you do get to really dive into the kind of history of people's sound, the influence that's there, and then also talk about kind of wider projects that are going on as well. Because obviously the new one does feature on a wider EP, which dropped quite recently, obviously Destination Unknown. How long did this kind of take to put together as a project? Because obviously there's kind of callbacks on there. There's like elements of previous releases that have been kind of reworked and put on there. How long did this kind of take to put together as an overall piece?
It took a long time, man. I'd say a time of 2 years, but that I would say was a little bit of an issue with COVID and everything, the uncertainty of everything right now. But I think everything happens for a reason. And as I said to you, you know, like, this is a body of work that I was able to, on a more grand scale now, work with other writers, other producers, get into the studio, work right. I'd never been in like writing sessions like that before. And of course, you know, the title of the EP, Destination Unknown, which I think aptly describes my journey thus far and, you know, continuing to the future. So there's a song obviously with Pedro Capo, who's a big reggaeton Latin American artist, called Millonario. And the concept behind that song is kind of same as every day, but just, you know, being grateful of the person that you love in your life. It could be a friend, it could be a wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, etc. But feeling like a millionaire. not in wealth, but in love and everything else like that. So the concept of the song was here, and obviously, like, going into the studio with Pedro and just seeing the connection that we had with the concept of the song and outlook on life and everything like that, it was so organic and fantastic, you know. And then of course the likes of working with the boss man himself, Shaggy, and then Romain Virgo and Fiji. I think every single song has its own path, and you know, my goal and wish obviously is that everyone can appreciate something and take something away from the album that makes them happy, makes them smile, and leaves them with some good vibes, you know.
Awesome, man. I mean, it's been such a wicked thing to kind of listen through, especially kind of when I'm getting my questions ready for these conversations. It was really good just hearing the kind of wealth, I suppose, of different styles and things that are involved across the project. It does sound like, yeah, it would have been a fun thing to kind of document as you were going, you know, just seeing all those, yeah, different elements coming into the mix. Now obviously you're currently here in the UK. What else are you up to whilst you're here?
Well, I have to visit some family, but you know, I told them, you know, I need to knock out some radio interviews and some promo, and you know, the family is quite spread out all over the place, and you know, you can't come to the UK and just go visit one family and then go to- No, man. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to arrange like a nice big cook up and thing, cook some jerk chicken, some rice and peas, get some white rum going, and have everybody link up one time. But apart from that, man, I used to live in London. I lived there in 2009, 2010, working at Diesel in Covent Garden. So to come back here after all those years, man, it's quite surreal. You know, I'm looking out at South Bank now and all the buses and stuff. It's wicked, man. I like it. I'm not a massive fan of the cold. But apart from that, I'm excited to get out into the streets and walk around, maybe visit my old workplace and see what's happening, you know?
Amazing, man, amazing. You've got to do it while you're here. While you're here, you've got to do it. Yeah, you've got to do it. All right then, cool. So what would you say kind of your rest of 2022 is kind of looking like then? Obviously, you've got the EP out there now. Obviously, you've got the new single out there now, and there's a lot of kind of hype brewing. You're over here in the UK for the next week or so. What's the rest of your year looking like? Are you going back on tour, or are you going to be kind of focusing more on releasing more music?
No, man. So, I mean, you know, in the past, I've been guilty of releasing songs and then just back-to-back song. But, you know, the amount of time and effort and hard work that was put into this EP, I really want to give each of the songs its breathing space. So for the foreseeable future, I'm actually trying to shoot a music video here for one of my songs, Love Me The Same, which I have to admit is one of my favorite songs on the EP. Maybe shoot a music video for it here in London. Apart from that, I want to shoot a music video for Every Day with Romain Virgo and Fiji. We're already in conversations about that. And, you know, my goal is to have a music video or like a visual for every song on the EP. So I think apart from that and doing promo, man, like, and of course, if any tours come up, but it's not something that I'm pressed to do right now. I'm more trying to introduce myself, introduce my new album. And then I think from there, maybe 2023, we can look at doing some more tours and focusing on that, you know?
Amazing stuff, man. It's been great to chat to you today. So I've got to say, yeah, you put a smile on my face. It's been great to kind of talk through everything going on with the EP. And I've got to say, best of luck with the rest of the promotion for it. I'm sure people are going to love it wherever you go. We are going to jump into Every Day next. We're going to give it a quick listen here on the show, which I'm very excited to do. Again, for someone who, say, hasn't heard this tune before, describe it for me in, say, three words, just so people have a rough idea.
Positive love vibes.
There we go. What a wicked way to describe it. Fantastic stuff. Well, there we go then, people. We are going to jump into Every Day next. It's been great to chat to you today, sir. Thanks for taking the time out of your morning to jump on the show. It's been great to chat.
Man, thank you for the opportunity, man. And you stay blessed, man.
Each and every time, sir. Each and every time. Right then, people, keep it locked and don't go anywhere. We are live on Trickstar Radio this morning. Following on from this, we're going to jump into the sounds of the Dub Shack. So keep it locked and don't go anywhere.
Trickstar Radio. Live from the South Coast.